Father, we worship and we honor you. Hallowed indeed is your name. We enter your word in the reverence that it deserves, being fully conscious of our human limitations, to deliver as well as receive the word of the God of all wisdom, because of the finiteness and the limitations of the human mind. Constantly, we need your help. We ask you for the same. In particular, asking for fresh counsel and anointing, perfect upon my heart and my lips. Indeed, I would speak of our third as an oracle of God. Secondly, we pray that you put the same counsel and anointing on the ears and the heart of everyone that will hear me, those who are here, physically present, if you can hear me remotely, electronically. The word will have free course from you, through me, to the people, to be an eternal and eternal work in every heart. Including my own, causing our wills to become more humble, our mind more enlightened with revelation knowledge, and our emotions to become more controlled by the power of the fruit of the Holy Spirit. But I cannot speak the power of the Spirit of God be released in those who are to follow these words wherever they are heard and released in all the earth. Power that will heal, power that will deliver, power that will break works, power that will free men, so they will become doers of the things which they hear. And I hear it only. We also pray for mercy to be faithful in the delivery. And I will do the word, I will deliver this word with precision, redeem the time, and speak only what you want me to say. Be now the children of this word, since little deed of this pride is trusted under the kingdom. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. And all those in agreement with that prayer, receiving the blessing in their individual lives, in agreement, say, Amen. Well, tonight we're going to continue our study in perfection. We are studying this, we call this school of the Spirit, School of Perfection. And the reason for this is going to be the third day is the prophetic symbolism for the 21st century. The third millennium from the birth of Christ. We are already in. We actually released about 3 years ago, 1995, and 2 years. 10 years. Oh, I certainly hope we're not behind something. 10 years, a long time. Yeah. You know, and this time the Bible tells us very clearly that it is the time of the perfection of the church. Jesus said, in the third day, you will be perfected. And so, what we call cleansing perfection is more available. This is very simple, spiritual and different. In which the sin nature and the soul and body have been cleaned, and I don't even word cleansing, because in the continuous sense, you know, of the soul and the body, by the blood of God, blood of Jesus, the word of God, and the power of the Holy Spirit, we must remember the many Christians are not aware of this, or not, let me just stop playing in their minds, that's a better way of saying it. You know, that when you get born again, the divine nature is supplying your spirit, but the sin nature is doing the soul and body. You got this body, all of us have experienced that, unless we're divinists. You know, and you know, you see, you want to go right to me from your spirit, but this is what Paul says, that in my flesh there is no good thing. You know, I will do the rising from my heart, and in that, you know, which love God, but in my I find it ever more walking in my members. What is it? It's the sin nature. You know, but the good news is that you can get rid of it. So you use the blood of Jesus, the word of God, the Holy Spirit, to get rid of it. It takes time, you know, you can get rid of it. And when it's all gotten rid of, when all of it is gone, that is what we call perfection. It's not a utopia, it doesn't mean you know everything, it doesn't mean you can do everything in the of course in the example is Jesus. You could start it when you was a baby. It's not the human energy, it doesn't say when you was a baby. But the perfect when you're 12 first. You know, but he won't do any miracles when he was 12. And he certainly didn't know everything when he was 12. That's why he was in the temple and he was listening and he was asking questions and he was still learning. And the Bible tells us very clearly that he grew in wisdom and in knowledge. So perfection doesn't mean everything. It doesn't mean in certain things doesn't mean you can't sin, because Adam was created perfect, without a leader, yet he sinned. Interestingly, Lucifer was created perfect and sinned. Interestingly, the Bible says, you know, that's why I saw the son of wisdom perfect. But it's a sin.
do when they suffer. Do you see this? So, particularly when you concentrate on free will, but it essentially means that you have the ability not to express because of the divine nature that dominates your system, spirit, soul, and body. And then in that condition of perfection, you grow into maturity, tested, to overcome the loss of the flesh, loss of life, and pride of life. And when you pass all the three tests, like Jesus did in the wilderness, then you got to trust you to be free without measure. And through that measure, we're going to call the glory and majesty of the sons of God. And I know the whole world is waiting for that. I know we are waiting for. Praise the Lord. Because you need to understand this, you know, that what we get when we get born again through the Holy Spirit is the fullness of the Spirit. The amplified Bible is the down payment before Christ. It's not the fool's name. That's very sensible. I'm going to give you the fool's name, not your testing. You kill too many people. You know, so, you know, he'll give you a little. But if you're faithful with that little, then he will ultimately make you rule over much. But if you're unfaithful with a little, then certainly you cannot be trusted with more. So God gives us a measure of the Spirit. But what we do with it, and that's what we're supposed to do, is we're supposed to take that measure of the Spirit to clean out the sin nature, to develop our character. And when we clean that, we don't go to Isaac, we've been faithful with a little, then I'm going to give him the full one. That's exactly, and interestingly, Jesus means that he calls God. Even though it's all God, even though it was perfect and you have seen him, the Bible says how he was found, he still had to learn obedience by his own mother. And being made perfect, he perfect that means mature. He was perfect in a past sin as somebody wasn't mature. And being made perfect, he became. He wasn't born that way, he became it. He grew into it. He became the author of eternal salvation of all the world. So, that's the same thing. No different group, pray for the Lord. And that's what we're all waiting for. And it's imminent. We expect it now. All the signs of the times are there. And in particular, we are in the four blood moon tetrad. The Bible tells us that there's a sun and the moon were given for times and seasons. And it means there's this four blood moon tetrad, you know, synchronizes with the feasts. So we expect that during this season, this manifestation of the glory of God will come. The book of Joel tells us that, you know, when the sun will become dark and the moon will become red, you know, blood, and God will now speak to his son. That army is the company of people to which the power and the glory, the first fruit, you know, begin to come through, you know. And you can see this also in, which puts it that now, I believe it's in Malachi. You know, Malachi, very interesting to look at those two scriptures. You know, in Joel, let's look at it. It's just, you know, something to inspire us. Joel chapter 2, verse 10, to daughters. Joel 2:10. Where in the world are you? Right. He's talking about the army here. You know, this is the earth are quick before them, the heavens are trembled, the sun and moon shall be dark. That's the blood moon. And the star moon will draw their sun, standing. Verse 11. And the Lord shall utter his voice before his what? Army. So this is a military campaign, spiritual now. Spiritual movement. He's terribly very great. And he's still executing his word. For the day of the Lord, this third day, is great and very terrible, and who can abide it? In other words, God is going to come through an army of saints. You understand? The head of it will be a leadership that is already in perfection, that has inherited the spirit of measure, and behind them will be a company, the perfect company, you know, that will have born anointing, you know, and that whole army will come. Now, when that thing happens, he says, who can abide? That was his given to me in the New Sacramental Version. Let's see what that says. Oh, good. The day of the Lord is great, is dreadful. Who can endure it? You know what it says here. Give me the Antichrist, if you will. Right. The day of the Lord is great and very terrible. Who can endure it? Now, quickly jump to Malachi chapter 3 and you see the correspondence. Malachi chapter 3 verse 1. It says, verse 2. Who may what? Abide when he doesn't is coming here in Malachi, but that coming, according to Joel, is to an army. But it's the same thing. You can see that who shall abide the day of his coming? Who shall stand when he appears for his like a refiner's fire? Given to me, this is a good example. You see the same thing there. Who can endure? Same thing. So, the one he's saying in Joel, and what he's saying in Malachi, are spiritually equivalent. So, when we say he's coming, we're talking about the rapture. We're talking about God coming in his fullness, his perfection, in a complete in an army of people. And when it happens, it's everybody who's going to endure it. In particular, it's not everybody who will be able to stand. The implication is that they're not going to fall. And the Bible doesn't tell you how many details. I was telling you something yesterday, and that even the Nigerian problem, the situation that we have, on ground, the problem is this, the listener is in the church. The politicians are the church. And until we clean the church out and the church is perfected, it will not be able to exercise dominion over the nation to the degree that it should. So God, for people who pray different elections, I'm not all of you. I went to see a policeman today, one of the top, AIGs, and Mr. Gibson. And he said, how is that happening was a miracle? He said it was divine intervention. And what happened with the president and the peace in the country? So that if you know what's going on behind the scenes, there were all kinds of forces trying to influence the man in the wrong direction. But thank God their voices did not prevail. It was the voice of reason and the voice of peace. That's what kingdom is. Dominion of righteousness. He did the right things and he brought peace and joy in the nation. So we literally saw the kingdom in manifestation. Amen. Because a lot of people are full of transformation. You don't do it, you don't agree. And you do it, you don't have conscience. People are saying that. But the voice, the power of the Spirit of God, like this man said, one of the cops I was talking to, he said, I'm a Christian, he said, the Bible says, that God had in those hands. And what did those hands was having? And even told God what is going to wrong, because he had his hands. How the hell is my idea? God, through the intercession of his people. So don't ever see our prayers were wasted. No. God will touch the heart. And that's one of the most difficult things to do to change the human heart. God has a feeling. He could have done it all the way around. But God wanted one day prayer as a chain of fasting and prayer to God arrange the circumstances and everything he would to make him with you. We are violating his free will. I'm reliably informed, because I know some people in the inner circle, that God so arranged that the people who influenced him wrongly were not around. And the good people who are able to talk to him properly were the ones who are on the spot. I said, oh, God, do it now. Do it now. And God put it in his heart and he picked that phone. If I'm getting from God, I said, call, boy. So he said, after they now go to the person I'm speaking to, the person I'm speaking to, and give it to the president. And the president now said, this is the president of how you send it, you consider it. And he did it now. So if you wait until the elections, the years are not, it will be 2 years. But you do it now. And he did it. After they have done it, there were other people who had told, who had come to Israel, oh God,
God bless them. Scripture, I just came to you. Know, I don't have a verse in scripture, it's come by the Spirit. You know, the Bible says, if Jesus could do not this, it is because his advisors are wicked. And I am not going to politics now, but really, God can tell you some of the things that sadly and regrettably happened in the last time I spoke from. I believe that the man himself is a good man. But if this is a scripture, does it? If a ruler focuses to rise, all his servants are wicked, then I cannot be in 20 places at the time. I am saying, what is going on there? Then what is going on there? Then what is going on there? Then you read something in the paper, they want to say, hey, you know, this is awful. So you see the people who are around you don't care for us. Then you write about the time that you don't like them. Then I think you're walking around, you don't want it. But if I think you're walking, then you really want it. Praying for things that is not very, very important. This is not good to us. It's 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 not good to us. And very accurately probably describes not all of it, but some of the operation of the last 7 years. We look at God's intention. So going back to the church now, the solution is in the hand of the church. The solution, the ultimate solution is in the hand of the church, not in the hand of the politicians. And that's why we need this manifestation of the glory of God, you know, the sons of God. And that's why we're teaching what we're teaching, because if you don't teach, they won't be paid for it. If there's no faith for it, it won't happen. So we have to address that. And that's one of the reasons, probably the major primary reason for the prophetic ministry. See, for years ago, I didn't understand the prophetic ministry as well as I understand it now. And I want to thank God and give glory to God and acknowledge the ministry of Peter Hagin and the Lord Jesus Christ, who appeared to me in 1959, and talking about the prophetic ministry. Because I don't know the prophetic ministry, the traditional context is that you have to come and say, come to the Lord. And I thought, what's going to happen in the future? And if it happens, then it's a future thing. It doesn't happen, then it's a future thing. That's a very small aspect of prophetic ministry. See, the greater you join the prophetic ministry, what the prophet does is that he gets revelation about what the topic of God for the future is. But there was not that. He now begins to teach from the Word of God the things that the people of God have to do so that they can trust God. In that purpose. So this reason, the scripture now says that believe the Lord your God will do this. I mean, believe. For it says, are you prosperous? No money alone. Now, money is a part of it, but a very small part of it. You know, prosper in the purpose that the prophet is talking about. So, true prophets, what they do, you know, is that as they've been waiting for the promise of God and pray, God reveals to them, that's why I call it revelation. He gives them a revelation of what God wants to do. In the Old Testament, the revelation used to be hundreds and thousands of years ahead. You know, but in the New Testament, it's not so. Particularly in the last 100 years. In our time now, we have a time frame of 6 months to 50 years. 30 years ago. Now we are looking at a time frame of 6 months to 5 years. It gets shorter and shorter at the time of the approaches and as the age is coming to a close. So what you will prophesy 30 years ago? Yeah, this is 5, 7, 10 years. You know, 6 months, a year. I'm saying a little bit of this on Sunday. Jesus' ministry gives an excellent example of the prophetic of a prophet. He was being called a prophet. And Jesus did everything. He was an apostle, prophet, all that. You know, he was teaching about this and said, drink his blood 2 years down the road. What happened? You understand? Really, you see, nobody
oh, this is better than this God. But that is the purpose of all God and Apple. But he began to teach. That's an excellent example of prophetic teaching. He began to teach that purpose 2 years, a lot of half years before anybody could ever experience it, to give them comfort, and sadly, regrettably, they lost it. If you weren't with us, the people don't like the prophetic ministry. You know what? It kicks you out of the comfort zone and challenges you to reach for what is in the future, you know, and then many things upset your spiritual apple cart. You know, when you think you're really good and you're really okay, the problem just come and eats it all up and tell you that there's something greater ahead, and in fact, you're not even where you're supposed to be. That's why I don't like prophets. I've experienced it in the last 20, 30 years. You know, you tell them what place I got, don't tell them to come back. That's okay too. Praise the Lord. Amen. You tell them, you declare the word of the Lord. You know, I mean, this is what's going to happen. You know, and this is how it's going to happen. And this is what you need to do so that it will happen to you personally. You know, and that's why it's called. They typify by the sons of Israel. And look at the characteristic they had on a standing of the times. In other words, prophets have a revelation of what God is going to do and when the seasons in which He is going to do it. You know, and then they begin to now tell the church what they ought to do so that they can prosper in what is going to happen in those times. So we've been teaching prophetically. The teaching prophetically says, oh, not to be late, not to be nothing. You know, I'm saying when you're a first prophet. You know, my first 3 years as a pastor, it's a pastor, I'm taught that as a teacher. Not a prophetic teacher, just a teacher. I taught life, I taught healing, I taught prosperity, I taught praying spirit, and I love it. I taught the fool. Amen. Then 88, 89, a new anointing came upon me. This is what Papa Ralph told me. Papa Ralph got sent to confirm what I had. You know, I'm starting to teach him. I taught Elijah, and I taught on the Just Generation. You know, I taught my Vanguard Company. Then I taught on Tears and Seasons. Brother, all her brokers. People don't like that. You know, I just want to write to me, interestingly. One of my pastor friends, I was not there, but we're not supposed to use people's defense. You know, he would say, he said, what are you going to do this? He said, what is this? He means to me. God is blessing you. He said, if you stop, if you just put all of this, he says, do only that you can thank all of this, and it will go. It will go. You know, I'm trying to advise you, don't like that. And you know, interestingly, I think I made it earlier, that was the same problem that I had. Jesus appeared to him in a vision. And the question, you know, years before, for Matthew 2, as the first time that, you know, he kept appearing here. Look at it, later down in 1959. And he fractured on him one of the bones. So they had to put it in plaster of Paris. And he wasn't positive. He then was recuperating in hospital. It was inside of the preaching process. And sat by his hopeful book. He said his book, I believe in goodness. He called it the chapter. I know the hopeful thing is, I don't know that chapter. The kids, you know, sometimes you see it, you know, beside the baby. And I see it now. In his head, he thought it was one of the muscles. It was just blown white. If it was one of the muscles, then he had a chance of brain. The kids are chill. They go and ask the baby person for him. I'm pulling the chair next to him, you know, and I'm saying, what is it? But then Joe said to him, he said that, Ella, just gave him these eggs, but he was already. You know the kind of thing where they say, "Ah, man, what you do, you know, he was here, he commiserated him, the first thing was rebuke. He said to me, he said, "You are here because you listen to me. There's no my will for my people, especially my servants, about accidents and things like this." He said, and the reason is this, he said the first thing he came to his mouth. He said, "You are here, and it's not my perfect will. You had this accident because you moved out of my perfect will into my permissive will. And that was it. You put your teaching ministry above your prophetic ministry because you were not popular with the people." And then if I had not allowed this accident, it's not a good thing for you to have an accident. He said, "But if I had not allowed it to correct your accident, you would have committed that error and you would have died at the age of 55. And you would never have fulfilled the first phase of your ministry." Can you believe that? Jesus said that none of us could believe it. Can I think it? We want the life of 6 feet. The Bible said that anyone would have been involved in the healing. Not all of us, but he was involved in healings. You know, he was, people were getting healed, the blind were seeing, he was doing miracles, and God was using miracles, having word of wisdom, word of knowledge, and he was part of that whole move, 1947, when this move of God came after World War II, with Oral Roberts and Theodore Osborne and Gordon Lindsay. He was in that group. People were having miracles. And he thinks in ministry, he was one of the foremost ministers that used to minister for Jewish Italian. And who got for business then? When who got to be my policy started in America, by a guy called Jewish Italian, so the name of all the people that used to invite most of the people, he would go there and minister to people who were, from Methodists and Baptists and all that, they came with the Holy Ghost. Those days, the Holy Ghost was in the university. People have been seeking the Holy Ghost for 50 years. come to them and get it like that. Through the all of that. But you don't judge within and judge you. God, Jesus told you, he said, if you have continued, he said, you would have died at the age of 55. And you would never have fulfilled the first thing of the ministry. He said, "That's right here." He said, "Now I'm going to teach you about the office of the prophets." He began his booking for 1.5 hours. Just by the and his goal was to find his faith. And so basically, one of the main things was he said, most people think that the prophet doesn't exist. He said, the prophet teaches and preaches, like everybody else, but he has revelation. And then he begins to tell you, about the things that God is going to do. The prophet's ministry, the majority of it, we do have visions, we have all of that, and telling you of, and foster the words, all that work kind of it. But really, the major part of it is teaching. It's prophetic teaching. Because when people are taught that they have understanding, and when they have understanding, they have faith, that they know what they ought to do, so that what the prophet what is being prophesied and the prophet of God that is being spoken about can be fulfilled. They won't know. And they will never fulfill it. That's what has been happening. The accident of prophetic ministry has been told about the same mistake that Hegel was making. I would have done the same thing by these people. Because it's not popular. Follow the preach. They are going to be more controversial and that, concentrate on physical and material blessing. Stay with the fundamentals, the elementary principles of Christ. Stay with healing, stay with deliverance, stay with prosperity, and just, and deliver. Finish. But if you do that, you will never grow. The young man I was with yesterday, he was telling me, he said, people ask him, an elderly man, because of his church, I'm very respectful and all that.
So you're saying that many of his friends and people, you know, people who remain ones and all these things, where they come back is not right. So what do you think that's not the church? You know, they say to you, sit down. He's telling his people, he said, you sit down. He said, Christianity is a good school. He said, they're going along with your teachings. He said, but, you know, you don't see in primary school. He said, primary school. How does it go? He said, there's more than primary school. There's secondary school. There's university. There's more programs. He said, that's one. I'm coming here. What happened to your church after doing this? What happened 20 years ago? That's not with people. Jesus. You know? That's not with them. The teacher, the apostles of the new leader, the pastor, teacher, the evangelist, stay with the fundamentals. Which is fine. We don't care. They don't start the game in the sinner, they get in something. But I'm going to go on to perfection. You know, unbelievers too, they're views. And unbelievers too are blessed materially and financially. See, materially and physical blessing are the measure of spirituality. They don't have to take one again. You're not threat to Satan if you're not growing spiritually and you're not moving into perfection, because you know that's what it is ultimately on top of him and put him in the pit. And trust me, he's just like you. Nobody wants to be called a praise the Lord. In order to understand these things, we have to be wise virgins of taking what we call the seven pillars of wisdom. We've got seven pillars of the Christ life, Jesus is incorporated. And we are following the example of Jesus. And that's why we're studying the Lord Jesus Christ himself in the Gospels. And in our last lesson, we ended in Luke chapter 1. In to recap, we saw the birth of John the Baptist and three prophecies, one from Elizabeth, one from Mary, what we call the Magnificent, and one from Zacharias. In summary, what those prophecies all said, you know, was the fact that one, you know, John is going to be born, then Jesus is going to be born, Jesus is God. You know, he was picked up by the Spirit. Mary was going to give birth to the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, and it was not only going to affect, it's very important, it was not only going to affect Mary and Israel, it was going to affect the whole world. So they were able to, by the Spirit, God was able to speak to them to show that this thing that is happening, this birth of John, this birth of Jesus, is going to affect not just their own nuclear family, but it's going to affect the whole nation of Israel, and by extension, it's going to affect the Gentiles that God is going to bring in through Israel. I think it's a very fundamental truth that to be strongly established in your heart that as a Christian, you are the seed of Abraham. Through Jesus Christ. You don't identify with that as much as they could. You understand? Every blessing in the New Testament is yours. In fact, the Bible goes far as far as Paul. He says, better testament is standing upon better promises. That is, include all the blessings of the old and the new blessings that the old don't have. I am as much a seed of Abraham as any natural Jew. God has to enter my own personal state. I was captured by my own dream. And who are you? If you know who you are, amen. That's not physical dream, but spiritual dream.
through Jesus Christ. But it doesn't bug you even as it is.
Maybe even more so.
Amen.
Amen. That's the truth.
That's actually the real truth. We are the seed. It says, if we be Christ, then are ye Abraham's seed, and heirs according to the promise. You need to know that. So when you see anything in the Bible, and that's why I have taken time over the years, when you're in the Bible, you need to appropriate it for yourself by faith. You understand? Every promise in the Bible isn't just for the natural Jew. It's also for us, the spiritual Jew. The Jew had an advantage because they got it first. But that advantage is no longer applicable today because they got it for the 2011. Yeah, it's not available to you now as an instrument. God's doing this. God has not made us one. He moved the middle world of Pakistan. And we are all now citizens, you know, of the household of God. Hallelujah. You need to understand that. But in all of that understanding, never get high-minded and think it's too much to do. That is a very important thing. Paul says, be not high-minded. He said, he who removed the natural branches can also remove you. You know, he said, they were removed because of unbelief. He said, true. He said, but you can by faith. And so don't be high-minded, because the same reason why they were removed can God be able to be removed too. So you need to stay humble, and then he says, so blessed to Israel. And I have that understanding. So I'm very merciful towards Israel. Even when they're doing wrong things and they're not believing God and all that, pray for them, you know? Because I understand that the blindness in part happened to Israel until the fullness of the Gentiles come. We have some Israel who is also abandoning today, but there are not many. But the great majority is going to come in after the fullness of the Gentiles comes. So, in a sense, I've said this before, the rapture, what we call the rapture, which is the teaching year of the man child, will be like a stupid, a fucking wise of Israel. But there's still a red light passing in part, the scripture is not very passive. You know, they're not all blind, it says in part. Until the fullness of the Gentiles comes in. So, you and I have a great job to do, you know, and we have a great privilege, you know, to understand these things, you know, because so much to Israel, whenever you have the privilege of participating through, you know, once you get to it, be kind to them. Now, be kind to all human beings. And listen to me. The Bible says, do good to all men, but it's expensive to include the truth. So if I have something to do, I'm the truth. I'm helping myself. It's my brother. Praise the Lord. Do it through this life. Amen. So wait. We're sticking to all of that. And we saw the birth of John about the prophecies of Elizabeth, of Zechariah, about Jesus, about Israel, and about the Gentiles. It was E.W. Kelly in one of his books on First Ray. He said, God looks at the human race as three sets of people. Do you understand? You've got the Jew, the church, and the Gentile. God does not see Japanese, he doesn't see Nigeria, he doesn't see Eskimo, he doesn't see, you know, Russia. God sees three people on the earth, three races. Amen. The Jew, the natural Jew, because he's in the very hair, and they have a special sound for them, the Gentile, and the born again, and then the church. And the people dream of all the things we said. Through the privilege. Amen. Then the Jew, and then the Gentile. That's your identity. Oh, what do you look for identity? And people are always around and they don't see the problem. You know, who are you? You know, and then you have, you know, you leave your husband. Like, what stupid woman. Well, but the one I've heard in is Jim Hagen. He was teaching on development of the human spirit and the culture and all these things. So he was teaching from 1 John. And in that 1 John, he says, he says, now we know that we are children of God, and it does not appear, you know, what we have been, you know. And again, is that who you are?
can move back then, the God has been there. 2,000 years ago, one of the most organized and efficiently run empires was the Roman Empire. You know, our friends, I know, some of the young people, you know, we need a good education. I was saying, I did 14 subjects. And I did the history of the Roman Empire. I don't know from one and from two. We did in our school. We did the history of the Roman Empire in form two. I did the history of England, the Battle of Hastings, 1066, all the kings of England. And then in form three, we also now did, you know, the Kola Empire, the Ghana Empire, the Oyo Empire. I understood Greek mythology. We studied virtues, you know, and all the Greeks and all of that. So when I was reading the Bible, and you know, I started to see Homer, Apollonius. The Greek names after Greek gods. Apollos, Hermes, you know, when you're not exposed, your mind is not enlightened, and you know, then you see things from a very narrow worldview. The Roman Empire was one of the most organized roads and automatically started to. It was a Roman Empire. Most of the whole of Roman Empire had 48 days to work. They now cast like that, but they had to be rich. So they made sure they made 30 good roads. They had fantastic engineering work. You know, aqueducts, you know, water, you know, all kinds of things because of, you know, health and hygiene. We way back. Some of the Roman soldiers were some of the best engineers. But why they want to go and invent over there is city and power. That's why it lasted a 1,000 years. What killed the Roman Empire is the same that would kill any human concern. Once prosperity comes, man begins to indulge in the flesh. So the original principles of discipline and law and justice that upheld the Roman Empire, they started contravening those things, you know, by debauchery, drunkenness, you know, lasciviousness, you know, the sexual immorality, and the empire imploded from within. And incidentally, that same principle is not what we say in America. Goes on. There's prosperity and there's bread and there's food. He says, it's a curse. It's a difference. You know, and he grew fast and then he changed. And this is spiritual. That's why that man says, I'm not going to say, God, you don't give me too much. Doesn't give me too much. I was here with you, Lord. And then I mean, don't make me feel poor that I stand and take your money away. But give me food. Prosperity before we preach our message. You know, do you know that this is a good thing for you to pray? thank you, you know, help me what my soul can handle. It is only as my temptations which shall control, you know, my righteousness and my peace, you know, everything can give me more. So what could have given me so much that my soul cannot handle, he would declare. Thanks for having the Roman Empire. And all the other empires that came out, that's what has always happened. Once nations become strong and they become prosperous, they start eating, they forget. You are American, you are American. You are American of God's Washington. You are American of God's name. You, the nonsense that seem to you. No, they are eating, they are fools. The river is
in England, the same thing with England, same God who prospered them.
I have eaten your food as a week. They look.
And now we are here. Not on our watch.
By the mercy of God,
I have packed you out of everywhere.
I'm staying on the rock.
Amen.
I'm not going to leave this loose. I leave it to this devil.
A guy who will pray.
They would know the number, and by the number they would see the demographics, you know, of knowing, you know, your sister's sister. And now you have to tell me how much money you're going to be taking.
You won't really like this, but you know, so. You remember John the Baptist preaching and the tax collectors came to him. And said, what are we doing?
And then John the Baptist said, exact no more, you know, be content with your wages. What happened in those days is that there was an agreement between the Roman centurion or whoever the Roman officer was that was in charge of the particular set of business, for example. You know, the guy had maybe 1,000 men under him. You know, so they will now say Jews, not Roman, because they could speak language and know people. So they will now say that for the public. That's the tax collector. The tax collector knows, but he's Jews. He lives in the neighborhood, he knows you. So the tax collector comes to a marriage to come and collect tax, and he called the Roman officer. But if your tax was 10,000, he probably didn't understand it in 8 days.
Was told me when Cyrenius
this governor of Cyrus, Syria, this shows you the efficiency of Luke. Luke is a writer. You know, he gave details about the political situation of that time. That is why historians did not go and check, to understand what was written in the Gospels and this, what was the secular history and kind of operate. So the reason why we know the scripture is correct. You know, when Cyrenius was governor of Syria, that verse, all went to be taxed, everyone into his own city. Here, you have to say, this is the consistent city. You will not have the scriptures that they always need to use. Genealogy is a good system where you can trace your root. Where you, who your father was, your grandfather was, or are you from the house of Judah, or are you from the house of Ephraim, or are you from the Manasseh, as we said before. You know, and in that way, so, even though, at least, Joseph and Mary were living in making their business was coming. You know, in Nazareth, their ancestral home was taken. According to the word of the prophet. So, everybody, all went to the census, everyone went to the next verse. It's beautiful. And Joseph also went up from Galilee out of the city of Nazareth into Judea unto the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David. There's a great prophetic truth in this little verse here. There's a two prophetic scriptures of the years. There's a scripture in the book of Jesus, he said, in the same scripture, to the prophets, and Isaiah, and, you know, Wisdom, you know, and Michael, is good. It is out of Bethlehem. So, what is the matter with the world? You are not arranged. Everybody give a word to God. And God, man, in that case, the man does, you have to respect him. And you think, he arranged us. They are living in Nazareth. So that aspect will be fulfilled. Then when the time came, she's Mary God ready. You know, God is the king, not come. They would have had the baby in Nazareth. It's so simple. Why would they? Do you know how much trouble? How much, you know, inconvenience? And even danger. Because it is a pagan woman, heavy, from all the way from Nazareth, to take her all the way to Bethlehem. It didn't make any sense. I've been preaching this for years, but then it just came to me. He said, that's why the reason why I trust God for me, because I'm not binding people. He said, other people will search for me, but I will go and talk to Nazareth. Many can see today. Next time they do it, say first, you know, it's just too much trouble for me to go all the way. The woman is the God who understands. Let us stay here. Because you see, if you didn't go, who will know? Only the last anyway. You can't find by me. You don't let people have been talking about any documents. It's too much trouble for me to go from Bunga all the way to Ring Road to go and vote. I just stay at home. Hello. Isn't it very convenient?
she being the mother of God, they would have given birth to children in the wrong place. Because she married to the enemies of inconvenience. But Jesus and Mary were not. That's why the Bible says that he was a good time.
God knew his heart that he did not belong in the Lord and trust him to be. He knew. So, you are God in the world and
to fulfill his word. Glory be to God.
They go to the place at any other time. But God made sure that by the time
we can see the realization of spiritual activity. Who sends Gabriel to you? God. That God who sends you to you. Many months down the road. It sends you to Jesus. Because the Bible to tell you this. The angel was sent in such a time that was synchronized with the senses that was coming so that by the time the baby is born and is about to give birth, before then they will be forced, because they are righteous and law-abiding people, to move from Nazareth to Bethlehem, so that the baby will be born in Bethlehem, that the word of the Lord, spoken by the prophet, might be fulfilled. The same thing to do, that's why you have to do the right thing. Don't go to America and forge the baby. You don't know what this is you are missing. What is this?
In our language, that means you went to the U.S. or England on a holiday visa, and then you overstayed your time, so that you're not stuck here, because that is how our language. So you now have a lot of things. So we do have a holiday visa afterwards. Because you can't do this. So if you propose, you won't go into that. Or you won't stay. You will get to stay, but what did you do to your destiny? Joseph and Mary did not know this. So they were where God wanted them to be at the right time. Pastor Wiley was born in England. His brother brought him to Nigeria. He was second to his university here. And he began to make the application for his visa. He could have done anything wrong. He could have gone to England or wrong organs. It was what his family was saying. In the right place, Jew, a white woman started coming to him, Jew. She happened to be working in the British embassy, the British national office, the one there in Buddha. It was in the night that when he was serving the, serving us, the ministry and all of that, he was in the Jew. He got to kill the woman. And God said, I've been first, no, I've been before. Peter, Peter.
He took the papers of his son and said, come, this is doing so to you.
Do you believe it? You don't see it. It is not God in righteousness. It is in my God. Without lies. Now, let's not your destiny.
that is a practical example. You go back out and look at everything that we have to do with being faithful. Then we need anything we want, you know. We go in and out things as we want. But I'm afraid, I have been, of course, we all know, I studied in England. Then I came back to Nigeria and I was doing spiritual control. I did not travel for 10 years. I did not step out of Nigeria. I could have. But there was so much work for me to do. Spiritually, I was praying and all of these things. People are sending my book. In London. You know, this guy, the one particular person, made a lot of money. You know, but my people are telling me, he said, look, you don't open the door, God is not going to open. I'm not going to force anything and all that. I'm telling you, one piece to God's business to tell you. You know, if you have been in Ibadan, the ones who have been in Ibadan, they have come, you know, they've watched a TV program and they were blessed. If you want to do a TV program, and say, hey, Paul also has invited me, you know, and, you know, when there, we got the visa, you know, it tells us give us 6 months. You know, wow. I don't know, I've been in Paris. So that's the rule. When it came back, and this was about the time of retail, we have to go to the early 5 o'clock in the morning to come back to you. It was very terrible. You know, we were 6 months again. You know, and now we always need to do everything right to you. We never have one day. You know, 12 hours per report. You know, I'm just on time after our few years. It's 10 years. The children says, all the people speak order. Wait for it. And if you think you're moving yourself and move yourself, and you're about to put my father away, let God long time come. God will do it. Now, guys, married to Americans, and I have all my papers, which means a doctor, and all the papers, the doctor, the students, the money, and the students, good professional. Good, you get these and I was almost such a meeting. They don't even talk to us anymore, we all speak to them and understand it. Because they've seen a trunk record of righteousness. You don't know who are those who can tell lies, and then start to see the old brother. You don't know what the rule of God is. It is the money that the British government gives welfare money. They'll be in the idea to tell the house. They will be getting money from England. You know, use the medical services without paying for it. And this is what he's saying, folks. He's in trouble. There are hundreds and thousands of them. Yes? If you go to most churches in London, you know, where is in the US, the greatest prayer point is to get the state. One of my sisters, my parents' sisters, was saying that if rapture happened, not pastor her to see you, don't go. Because this whole of Nigerians who are polarized and their citizens' status is questionable.
the prayer points in many of the churches is to get my sin. Because it's too late.
When you say you want to pray in tongues and pray with them, God has also asked. Let me end that with a good note. Fortunately, God is a merciful God. Amen. And sometimes in the end, when they get the grant thing, they regularize their hookers, and then all of that is all gone. But 2 years have gone down the road. And what has happened to your future? And most importantly, what has happened to your destiny? And Joseph and Mary tried to duck paying their tax and tried to duck the punishment because of the inconvenience of legitimate inconvenience of Mary's pregnancy. They would have stayed in Nazareth and most of the prophetic scripture. The great blessing to learn. I don't have time to talk about it in words. The great lesson. Seek ye first the kingdom of God, and it will be added unto you. Now, let me speak to you. The Bible says you have need of more people. You are going to be a good source of things. These people did the right thing, Joseph and Mary. And today, every human being on the earth knows Mary, the mother of God. Pure Mary, thou art highly favored. Blessed art thou amongst women. And blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. I don't know the rest of this. It's why we are all going to public school, why we are going to answer all this is a difficult. I can see you really okay. Praise the Lord. I can try that here. Yes, you see. You know? Let's do this thing spiritually. Amen. Can I help anybody here tonight? Okay, let's look at the way we're going to do this. Because to be touched with Mary, who says, bow down, being great with child. That's right. And so it was. a rhetorical question from which the woman was speaking. I was born, I'm giving myself an example. I was born on the 2nd of May 1959. Okay. So if you came to ask me, Pastor, what happened in January 2, 1958? It's unfortunate you cannot answer the question. Just then, I want to have the consequences. If you ask me, and you said, I was born 2nd of May, if you ask me, you said, so what was happening, you know, in April 1959? I don't know. I was in another room. Even if you ask me what happened on 2nd of May, I said, no, I don't know. All I know is I was born. You know, my earliest remembrances go back to 1961. I was 2 years old. And the reason why I remember was they took me to school, my mother. You know, I went to Corona first. There was one in my papa. I still remember, you know, the doctor called me to one. You know, I don't know what happened. And then my mom still asked me to one weekly. You know, after some time, I'm still never going to be cool and seeing the white female and the little baby children. These are my big things. Yeah, I can remember this. I remember in 1963. I was 5 years old. I came to Bangor with my uncle, Mr. Sebibaku. He was then registrar of the University of Bangor. And I came with him and touched Mr. Alexander. Mr. Alexander was a CJ. So one time Alexander was a close family friend of our family. You know, he was the Sierra Leone of the city of Honduras. You know, and you know, I was traveling with him in the car, took him from Lagos, and took him all the way. And my cousin, people know, but this was in the university, it's not for school. That school was brand new. It was just started, that was 1963. And he was one of the foundation children, you know, students, you know. When we got to Ibadan, we were in the same year, in the registrar's house, you know, I still remember it was a red book wagon. I can remember, it was 1500, you know, and we now took this idea and took it to our side. To go and start school. Yeah. I can't remember. But if you ask me some other things, this is very serious. on earth. They were going to pray because that's what they did. To fulfill a soft, place where you could put the baby and put it on the floor and say, okay, there is peace, but you can live with the marriage. So that the woman will not have a baby in the world. Because of the situation, the marriage, okay, we don't want to rejoice. And go where we can run to this thing. Yes, okay, then come. So we all go here and meet them and the lady and the baby, everything that runs to it and then you can see, you know, God was there, God was there. You know, I don't want to say in the place. And now to say, you do that in all business to eat. You put it inside. You know, they have to put the hole. So they just pick one of these things, you know, to clean it up and put some hay there and all of that, you know. So when you use the baby, that will be the cut. That's where he was going. Going back to what I was saying, I never did not know what happened in 1958. I was in another room, but I was not in the first. But it was not even different with Jesus. Someone was saying, I'm to come to it. There was a mystery in heaven before he was born. He was conceived of God. He knew he was going to be born to be born. He was not a person that had a chance of when he could be born. Not a person. We don't know what happened. People are saying, okay, let me be born at the roots. Or let me be born at the hills. First of the street. After all, I'm a son of God, man. The only person who is conscious, who could arrange the location of his birth to the other two persons of the Godhead before he was being neutralized and put into Mary's womb. He could have chosen where he could have been born. He decided and allowed himself to be born where the animals eat. You know what those parents say? He said, this is crazy, baby. It doesn't matter when you're born. It only matters the God that is in you. He was sending a message to the whole of humanity that all the judgment of the entire experience. You'll be safe, you'll be well, you'll be fine, you know? You know, to say that God's going to pass a message to all of us. To really hear what he's looking to. Because there are many men who don't have a choice and who need to be born even in worse places. So, in order to identify with the very lowest of humanity, he was born when animals were picking and defecating the horse and the donkey. And to remind you all those looking, oh, is that my baby's issues? I got a close. What to do next week? You know, on my next lesson, then you realize that's great. You know, but it's very, very interesting. You know, and one of the greatest lessons, this is what is called the, as a name for the religion, I forgot. You know, as a name for it. You know, but this event of the birth, the nativity, you know, of the birth of Christ, you know, it's the most
significant, historical events in human history. The whole of our lives, our destinies, were all tied to that moment in Bethlehem. Come on, again, let's go from here and see. Only to time of Bethlehem, how serious, just our hopes and fears, all the years are mixed in between us. Don't everything focus on that one event. The beauty and music unite past and all the people around our buildings of what is important. You don't know how to say it, you wear them along as you go. That means that God is in this world, He is set to change the world. The most important thing was taking place. Very interesting. Yes. The priesthood, the Levitical priesthood in Jerusalem were not converted. Neither were they informed. The guy who was sitting upstairs inside the same hotel, probably committing adultery to fornication, had no idea what was going on downstairs in the garden. When we ask all of this, some of the most important prophetic events that God is calling to come to pass, and the great majority of the religious scriptures is totally oblivious of the gospel. You know what is happening to them? The Christ is being born in some of us. People don't know where I am with you. They don't look at me. As I'm a piece of next week, you know, may you not be the opposite here. May God privilege you so you can know what's happening when it's in this called present truth. Peace. The Lord Jesus just says, blessed are your eyes that can see. And your ears can hear these things. And for many prophets and kings to divulge them and not hurt them, somebody cannot speak. Because the millions, billions, who would have wanted to hear what you are hearing? I can't believe what I know you are having and you don't have it. And you have it. What do you do? It's a great honor for God to reveal the secret to you. And please God, when we get it and we despise it, or we don't act upon it, or we treat it lightly, God is like, you don't even know what I'm saying. There are millions of people who will be crying together. He was born in the manger. Nobody knew what was going on. Except for Joseph and Mary. And then the priest passed down the road, the Holy Ghost went to them. Leave them tell all the big names in Jerusalem. Leave them tell all the worship of the apostles of the Lord. All of that. He said important things. And he hasn't changed. The same thing is doing now. So the most important thing is now the whole church is of the Spirit. The lesson of humility. Yet the choice where you could be born, the truth you born, so you could identify, so people could see you become a rich man. If you should have been born at poor, you would say, ah! You know, there is nobody in the African who identifies with Jesus. You were born in the manger, you were the carpenter, you didn't go to university. So tell me that, no matter what your choice is, If you can be like Judah, I'll make it. No matter what my antecedents.
Lift up your hands to
raise your hand. Raise your hand.
you right now. Says, lift up your hands. We don't want to lift up our hands, lift up our hearts. The King is coming again. He's coming now in us. In His fullness, in His glory, His power, His build up measure. Like Mary, like Joseph, He went to the sea. That's why I saw you lift up your hands to the King. We're going to all pray together in a minute. I just want you to tell the Lord. Say, Lord, I'm ready to receive you, however you come. For whomever you come. The Jews were expecting God to send the Messiah to come from heaven on a long spoke. And kill all the Romans. He didn't come the way he came. Where do you know about the King? Today, the world is expecting something. I mean, from the other rest of the people, and they put them on for people who wouldn't rest from them. I am not for coming. Nobody's expecting him to come for us. Even for this minute, as I speak, many people don't even accept that. Even though it's in black and white in Scripture. And even amongst ourselves in the church, you may be thinking, oh, you come to this, on this way. Wherever he comes, and whoever, what's the glory cost of followers? Take that hand. Say, Father, I confess our sins, and say, King of the blood, in Jesus' name, we have what? Come, Father, I thank you for the word that has come to me today, reminding me of the humility and the obedience of Joseph and Mary to move from Nazareth to Bethlehem in obedience to the laws of the land, and by so doing to fulfill prophetic destiny. I learn from this lesson, and by your mercy and by your grace, and I will obey your word. I will obey the laws of the land so that my destiny can be fulfilled. Lord God, I can work your purpose in my life by your Spirit. I also learn from the humility of Christ, Lord, to be able to access wherever and whoever you choose to use to show me your glory in this circuit. Father, I humble myself to accept your word in Jesus' name. You can just put it out. We can just put it out. We can just put it out. We can put it out. We can put it out. Nothing is. Here it comes. Let the tool of the tootis. Lombre catuta. 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 In Jesus' name.